Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR. And we got a lot to talk about this last half hour. Walker's not here. Ed's not here. So maybe I'll be allowed to talk some on this program. Ray Pritchard is joining me from Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. Again. You can say whatever you want. We will follow your lead.
Okay, now I don't have Walker and Ed over here to second guess me or interrupt me, which I don't do here.
Steve and I are here to support you all
thank
the way.
Thank you, and I won't interrupt y'all. All right. I do have a bad habit of that. I admit it.
You won't hear it from me.
But Steve didn't want to tell me.
We don't know anything about that.
Come on, Steve. Speak truth to power.
I serve at the pleasure of the president. Okay. I think that's what they
exactly so I sign saying. Your checks.
That's right.
So you're just going to agree with me, huh?
Absolutely.
That makes life easier on you, Steve, doesn't
Mama
it?
Mama didn't raise no dummy.
Got that right. No problems with that policy.
That would be a great country song.
It right would there. Be.
Mama didn't raise. Probably already been taken.
It may be.
Probably somebody done it.
All right. Steve Jerdahl joining us this morning. And Steve, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Boy, I was walking across the street from our other building, and I thought, I want to spend the rest of the afternoon doing my work from outside.
Doesn't it feel great?
Oh, so nice out there.
We live in Tupelo, Mississippi, and at least the southeast now, and I'm sure it's coming your way there in the heartland, Ray.
It's sunny and beautiful here. It's 52 degrees. It's probably warmer in Tupelo, right?
What is it, 65 here today, Steve?
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is now if I can get my phone to work for me.
I tell you.
It's 56 right now.
So not much warmer than Ray. I tell you what, though, what we're about to experience here across much of the country, with springtime and warmer temperatures means the flowers are going to be blooming everything else, and we're going to get that pollen. I guess we got to find something to complain about, right? So I left my windows cracked yesterday in my car a little bit outside the parking lot, and I got back out there in 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I got back out there and I saw the, you know what I'm
film
talking about,
the yellow film. Yeah.
It was right, so right. And it isn't so it didn't even, so a lot of people have to go through the.
You know
the allergies and stuff during.
You know who
the
really is right. enjoying that are the bees. They don't even have to. They can just land on a car and collect all the pollen instead of that having to go right. into a flower.
They don't have to work very
no,
hard.
No, it's easy for them.
Is that what they're looking for? So they don't. They just
they look for pollen.
They can get pollen anywhere.
I suppose. I don't know.
I thought they had to go to flowers or plants. Or
isn't
something.
Pollen pollen? Maybe not.
No, you could be right. I just never seen a bee on my dashboard collecting the pollen.
So Tupelo, Mississippi, I've discovered the last, I've been here, and this is my, well, it'll be my third spring.
Yeah.
There's about like a 3 or 4 week period when there's a tree that blooms with these purple flowers. And
the red bud trees?
I don't know if they're red. They look more pink or purplish to me.
Well, they are, gorgeous. but
I don't know what they are.
They're called red bud, but they're actually purple or violet.
Well, if they're called, I didn't know what they were called. The red.
But I've given up asking people the same question you've asked. Why are they called red when they're not red?
I'm okay with whatever they call it. They're beautiful, and they only last for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then when summer comes around, they're not that color anymore.
Right,
but
right.
I always enjoy this period. Just it's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Steve. Tell Ray and I. What's happening in the world?
I would like to talk
to
listeners. You about one of...
Ray and me? Ray and I? Anyway,
Ray and
go
me.
Ahead. It's Ray and me. At least I corrected myself.
You did well.
Thank you.
You're
2 for 2. I'm going to sign your check, Steve.
Yeah, good. I'll take that.
Yeah.
One of our America's favorite lawyers is now heading to prison. It looks like Michael Avenatti has been arrested and charged with conspiracy and with extortion.
Who is he now?
Michael Avenatti was the lawyer that represented Stormy Daniels, who was the adult actress
right.
that was extorting President Trump, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
He has been caught. What apparently he did
unrelated to the matter you just mentioned.
It has nothing to do with Stormy. Stormy is disavowing, as they would say in the IMF. He's disavowing.
So this guy's in trouble for some serious charges of trying to do what with Nike?
Well, he allegedly threatened to hold a news conference last week on the eve of Nike's quarterly earnings call and at the start of the NCAA tournament to announce allegations of misconduct by Nike employees with regard to how they were sponsoring, I think, some of the NCAA teams. The details haven't been spelled out too terribly specifically, but he demanded to be paid $15 million from $15 to $25 million and have an additional $1.5 million for an Avenatti client to remain silent. So I won't talk about all the misdeeds that he thinks he knows about Nike for, okay. for $15 million.
But the point is, this guy, after the news about the Stormy Daniels, he was Stormy Daniels'
lawyer.
After all that broke, then he was on CNN more than any other lawyer in history.
Because he was anti-Trump.
Right.
And they thought that they could milk that. And in fact, just 6 months ago, they were talking about him. CNN had a discussion with him about, do you want to be the president?
Right. So is he back on CNN today?
No. No, no, he's no, not. No. He is
for some reason.
He's
disappeared
in the custody of police. My understanding was that there were allegations on both sides of the country. There was a California news conference and a New York news conference yesterday. So I guess Ray, his choice now is: do I want to spend prison on the East Coast or the West Coast?
I think I'd go West Coast.
Maybe, you know,
maybe that, for the weather, I suppose.
For that 2 hours he gets to spend out in the yard, right?
What does he think? What did he think Nike was going to do? Did he think he was going to roll Nike for $15 million?
I don't know. Really,
this guy's feeling it though. I mean, he's on CNN every day. He's right. You know, he's criticizing Trump. The world loves him. I say the world, you know, his friends and pals. And
this is the same question I have about Adam Schiff, who keeps saying, who said not too long ago he had evidence of collusion. It was right there. And all of the top FBI people who knew they were lying and somehow thought they weren't going to get caught.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of baffling. Unless you're Jussie Smollett, apparently, and then you can't lie.
Right. It's a different category, right?
Hey, back to that Jussie Smollett story for just a moment. I don't want to spend the whole time on it, but I was looking back. We're talking about the actor, folks, who claimed that he was beat up badly on the way home from Subway at 2 in the morning in Chicago in sub-freezing temperatures. He was desperately wanting I don't know if he had a tuna and cheddar or what exactly, but he had to go out and get it, and he was, you know, beat up.
I think it was a ham sandwich. I mean,
the ham sandwich.
He's an
anyway,
actor.
It was a whole made up hoax, right? So, in weeks, the Chicago Police Department fit investigating this, claimed it was a hate crime, and so forth. Anyway, I was reading. Where I was reading how many charges were dropped, and it was 16
felony charges.
Felony charges.
These aren't
that a grand jury would have had to bring. I mean, so you bring it before the grand jury, they conclude there is enough evidence here to charge him in Cook County with 16 felonies, and he and the Cook County State's Attorney today. Let him off on all those. That is stunning.
You know what it says to me, Ray? It says to me that apparently this grand jury could not indict a ham sandwich.
I don't know.
That's good.
Yeah,
we're gonna be here
good.
All week, folks.
Couldn't indict a ham. Right.
Okay, I just saw this, Tim.
Yeah.
Somebody. This is some commentator on Twitter. But it's an interesting comment that. What has happened now is the Chicago PD and the Chicago State's Attorney are now in open war with each other, because this is not going to go down with the cops, right? The guys who walk the streets in the cars, who do the, you know, the frontline police business. And Sandy, you know, Sandy in the last half hour said the Chicago PD, you know, these guys and these men and women who work there, by and large, very honorable people, they are incensed that the state's attorney has decided to drop this. And so now you're going to, somebody else, things are about to get interesting in Chicago. Well, I think that really gets to the heart of it.
Yeah. And, you know, it continues. He doesn't even have to recant his story.
No.
Oh, no.
He's going with it.
That's right.
I mean, he's a true actor. Okay. He really is. He's going with the script. Hey, I'm getting away with this. I'm going to go back there.
Maybe he's going to be like OJ and devote the rest of his life to finding the real perpetrators of this terrible deed.
This year's Emmy for Best Crime Drama.
That's right, a good one, right? That was good. I'd high-five you if we were together right there. That
Thank
is a good
you.
One.
Thank you.
All right. So anyway, this is a joke, but it's a bad joke. Is. But
something to talk about for the next month or two.
You know, I wonder what I don't know. I wonder if this guy will go back on his I guess he'll go back on his TV show and continue on. But the fact that he didn't have to recant his story and the Right. Like, come on, Jesse, just own up to this whole thing, and we'll consider dropping the charges or greatly reducing them or something like that. But just
my story, and I'm sticking to it.
No, this
16 felony. I know. They're dropping 16 felony charges.
I know this. I don't know. I'm the Cook County State's attorney. I don't know who she answers to. I know it's a woman because I've seen her on a press conference. Who her boss is.
The mayor would be her boss, I believe.
Really?
Isn't the attorney general's
report? I don't know.
I don't know. Now, when you call somebody a Cook County, we'd have to ask Abe this.
Well, yeah. It's
Cook County. Cook County state's attorney.
State's attorney, right.
Does that mean state's attorney as in the state of Illinois, or state's attorney as in a government attorney that works for this Cook County? I probably works for Cook County.
I take back.
Then it wouldn't be the mayor.
It wouldn't be the mayor.
It would be, if she has a
supervisor
boss.
Or something, right.
It would be the like the county commissioner, somebody like that.
Right.
But, I would imagine the police department there is, Chicago is livid. Because remember the chief of police?
Oh, I do remember that.
You know, he anyway, this
that
is,
was a searing. Went on TV and laid out the case. That was a damning case against Smollett.
Yes. And all that work, time, energy, and effort, get a grand jury to indict on 6 felony charges, and one state's attorney can just let him walk. That's unbelievable. I wonder if there's anything like dereliction of duty on behalf of a state's attorney like that. In other words, can you just? I know that these kinds of law enforcement, law enforcement, that's not the right word. What would you call criminal justice attorneys?
Right.
The district attorneys, people like that, attorney generals, they can make plea bargains, can't they, with people all the time?
Oh, sure. And they do.
But just to let them off when they're guilty of sin and let them off scot-free, that seems to me like almost a crime in itself. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, and somebody could, quote, bring this woman up on, you know, dereliction of duty. That's not what it would be called. But, Tim, is that going to happen in Chicago? You wouldn't think.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. Very Although, unlikely. Yeah, you wouldn't think so. I don't know. Interesting, though. Somebody said on one of these message boards, $10,000. $10,000 can buy you multiple claims of false.
Well, and he's got to give that back. So
ten grand, you can make all the false charges you want against people, or false police reports, rather.
Really?
Huh?
Yeah.
The Smollett guy, he's going to come out. I would imagine he would tear up a little bit. Huh?
I can never tell the difference between Smollett and his brother.
Justice has prevailed. I was attacked, and nobody believes me. And so we'll see what happens here. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
Yesterday, when Benjamin Netanyahu was in town, President Trump signed a proclamation that recognizes Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And it's a policy which has been kind of hinted at for many administrations. I want to let you hear a little bit what President Trump said and then what Bibi said, Benjamin Netanyahu. His comments really do kind of provide a good history of what's going on and why it's important. This is clip two.
We will not avert our eyes from the dictatorship that chants death to America, death to Israel, and calls for genocide against the Jewish people. We won't let them even consider that. We will confront the poison of anti-Semitism through both our words and, maybe even more importantly, our actions.
For two decades, from 1948 to 1967, Syria rained deadly fire from the Golan Heights on Israel's citizens below. And then, in two glorious days, in June 1967, the brave soldiers of Israel scaled those daunting heights and liberated the Golan. In 1967, Israel seized the high ground, which has since proven invaluable to our defense. We would have to wait nearly half a century until this moment here in this room to translate our military victory into a diplomatic victory.
It's important, and he called it historic. I think I'd agree, protection for Israel. You were just there. Did that come up, that issue come up at all?
Golan Heights.
Of the America recognizing the Golan Heights. Were they talking about
that?
No, I don't remember
talking about that. I just remember several on my bus saying, I need to go to the restroom.
Well.
Yeah. Or I'm hungry.
Well, you know.
Or I'm hungry. Or something like
that. Typical tour group.
Yeah, it's the tour group. Steve's throwing his papers around. Can I not get a serious answer from you on this serious question?
No.
No, I don't remember that coming up in our conversations.
No.
So, but, tour groups now, Tim, as you know, almost every tour group goes up into the Golan Heights because it's a safe area now, right?
There are some things here in these discussions about Israel. If you've never, well, you can look at the map. But having been there, like Ray's been there and I've been there on multiple occasions, you get an appreciation for exactly what we're talking about here in terms of how close Israel is to sworn enemies. And so something like land of the Golan Heights cannot be given back to anybody.
That's right.
Because what you're saying is it could be the end of Israel, okay? It's life and death for these people. It isn't something, it's life and death. So that's why they have to control Gaza. You may say, well, they overreact, they go into Gaza. Well, if it's life and death to you every day and you have to make decisions based on that matter, whether you're going to have a country, whether your citizens are going to be safe, whether you have to live in constant terror, you can't be negotiating with people who want to kill you, or you can't give the Golan Heights back to Syria or anybody else. So I wouldn't, you know, the fact that the president says we recognize this and Benjamin Netanyahu says we recognize this, it's common sense. You know,
it is, but I think it gives some legitimacy to now we don't have to call it occupied territory. We don't have to call it, any of these names that make it sound like there's a contention about it.
The president of the United States, Donald Trump, does not care what the world thinks about him and his support of Israel.
Right.
And when was the last time you heard that? Not even under President Bush, I would say, probably. I don't remember.
All the Republican presidents before Trump would have agreed the Golan Heights should stay in Israeli hands, but they wouldn't come out and say it, right?
Right.
They didn't want to enrage the Arabs, Palestinians, and so on. But Trump doesn't. He really doesn't care.
No.
About stuff like that.
And to your point, Ray, all other Republican presidents have have failed to move the U.S. Embassy from
right, same thing,
Tel Aviv to Jerusalem until President Trump did it again, because he does, because I think he, it's a righteous cause and it's the right thing to do, and he can go ahead and do it. Now, that's so that's his viewpoint, and he sticks with it. Go ahead.
Let's talk about Mitch McConnell. He's got a trick up his sleeve today. He's going to make
Tricky this, Mitch.
Yes, let's call him that.
I don't think he'd appreciate that.
No, but I almost came out with his other nickname, which is a drug name.
Right,
I didn't say it. All right. So
I don't even know what that is.
I'll tell you later. Okay. It's not dirty or anything. Somehow he's got the name Cocaine Mitch.
Because?
Not because of him personally.
No.
It's kind of a long story.
Is it a long story?
It's a long story.
Okay. Well, we'll talk. You can tell me off the air.
But anyway, Mitch McConnell is going to force a vote in the Senate on the Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make Democrats go on the record of whether they or not they think this $93 trillion bill that the Ocasio-Cortez wants to charge the United States with is going to, if they're for it or against it. It was interesting, I believe it was yesterday, former President Obama was making a speech. And he said this, he's quoted as this, he said, we as Democrats should not be afraid of big, bold ideas, but we also need to think in the nitty gritty about how those big, bold ideas will work and how we will pay for them. So even President Obama is kind of hinting that this is a little step too far, the Green New Deal.
So President Obama is the conservative now in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, go figure.
Yes. Compared to AOC, I guess he is.
Mm-hmm. It'll be. So, of course, the reason Senator McConnell is forcing this issue is to make the Democrats have to decide whether to vote up or down with it, right? And it's kind of one of those things where if they don't vote with the new Green Deal, then the far left, who is the base of the Democratic Party, is not going to be happy with them, I would guess. But if they do vote for it, it's wacky. So they're going to be hurt with the middle.
It depends on what you mean by the base of the Democrat Party, because I have a feeling that out in flyover country and in most of America, the base of the Democrat Party would sure love to see all of these goals, but I don't think the base of the Democrat Party is up with a $93 trillion price tag on it. Now, the base of the Washington establishment, you know, where Ocasio-Cortez and her power cortege or power circle are, they want to do this. It's going to be interesting. It's something
that she's the chief architect of this.
It is mostly her ideas that have put together, but she's never bothered to explain how in the world we'd pay for it, other than these kind of, you know, platitudes about taxing the rich and it'll be worth it and we can't afford
So what price is it worth if we're all going to die in 12 years, Steve?
Well, if we're all going to die in 12 years,
$93 trillion
it doesn't matter.
Right. The money doesn't matter. So she's not going to have to explain how much it costs. So we can spend 10 years, or we can die. So you think she's going to do that?
I'll know if she decides to max out her credit cards in 11 years.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, when all these limousine liberals and far left politicians stop flying in their private planes, then I will listen to them about the new Green Deal. I just said I'll listen. But until then, while they're all flying around the world with their carbon imprint a million times more than the average person, but of course they're special.
They are.
Right.
All right, Ray, thanks for joining us, brother.
Hey, thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
And, folks, we'll see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues.